The Holy Spirit will take just a simple phrase, sometimes maybe even a word, and work on you and teach you and tell you some things about this. And we're just going to go over three verses here in Acts chapter 8. But the concept I like is the fact that it's talking about loyalty. You know, in our world today, we've got people that are not loyal to our country. They're not loyal to our churches. They're not loyal to the Lord. They're not loyal to family. They're not loyal to anybody or anything. And I think about baseball players and football players and things like that. Some of the old timers, you could not pay them enough to leave a team that that brought them up. My granddad was a Baltimore Orioles fan, and I'm a big Oriole fan. I'll always be. But one of the things I admire about a guy named Cal Ripken Jr. is the fact that he spent his entire career with the same baseball team. You don't see that much anymore. They'll jump from here and there and back and forth for an extra dollar or extra year on their contract or whatever. But I want you to understand, loyalty is so strange to so many in our world today that it bothers me. And what happens to Christians when they're not loyal? I want to tell you something. One of the things that you can watch on a documentary, and you can see the animals, and there's a herd of water buffalo or a herd of giraffe or whatever, and there's safety in numbers. But when one drops out and becomes disloyal to the herd, it's not good for them, because there's always a predator around to attack and you will pay the price. A lot of people, I want you to understand, in our world today, we see people paying the price. They're going this way and going that way, and they're running from Jesus and running from the church. And hey, I want a church that I can dance at, and I want a church that makes me feel good. I want to tell you something. You're going to have trouble reading your Bible very long if you're only going to read those passages that make you feel good. Because the Bible's going to tell you things that you don't like about yourself. You really believe that David liked the fact that God put in the Bible for you and I to read 2,000, 3,000 years later about his sin with Bathsheba? Or how about Peter and the fact that he was denying Jesus right after, I mean, just a few hours after he said, "I'll die for you, Lord, before I'll deny you." In our world today, we have so few people that are loyal. And there's nobody we should be more loyal to than Jesus. Amen. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read just three verses here in Luke chapter 8. Starting with verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout the city and every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Great God in heaven, we beg you, let us hear from your Holy Spirit. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, this is your book, and Lord, this is your message. And Lord, keep the preacher out of your way and help me to say exactly what you want said. Holy Spirit, take over my mind and my heart and my tongue and use it for you and for the glory of Jesus. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and some things I see here right off the bat is it says, and it came to pass afterward that he went, talking about Jesus, throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. I want you to know something. I wish, and one of the things that I love about this church is Wednesday night we voted to take on another missionary. That's 6 missionaries and 2 orphanages that we support. And we're only 5 years old. Amen. And I like that in the fact that you cannot find a place on the planet. If you look at a map, my wife made up a quilt of the world. We found a pattern, and it has a big pattern of the world. And she made it up, quilted it up, and I've got it hanging on my wall in front of my above my desk. And I look at that from time to time, and I see everything from Azerbaijan and Romania and Portugal, and I see Brazil, and I see Myanmar. I see all these countries that I've never been, never will go to, probably not in this lifetime. Maybe in the millennium the Lord will give me travel and mercy and say, okay, I want you to go there. Okay, Lord. So, you know, back then we probably won't need airplanes or anything anyway. We'll have glorified bodies, and we'll be able to walk through walls and just appear, say, okay, I want to be in, I don't know, Kansas City. Boom, you're there. I don't know. But the truth is, there's no place on the planet. You can put your finger everywhere on the planet, and they need Jesus. There's no place at all where you can go where you can say they don't need Jesus. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was limited at that point because he was in a physical body. But wherever he went and wherever he had a chance to go, what did he say? The passage says that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He wasn't just preaching, but he was showing. How do you show the glad tidings of the kingdom of God? First off, you got to live it. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. The old saying is so true. People have to know that you care about them. It's interesting when you talk to somebody and you said, oh, be careful when you're crossing the road because this is a dangerous intersection. Or watch out for, over here there's some alligators in the lakes in Florida, by the way. I've heard some people say, well, there ought to be signs up saying there's alligators. Hey, this is Florida. We've got alligators in all the lakes. Just count on it. If you find a lake, I believe there's one lake that I know of that probably no alligators, and that's Lake Morton in Lakeland. And the reason is they've got some really expensive swans there. And they keep those alligators out of that lake. But the truth is, hey, this is Florida. But when you warn somebody about a danger, all of a sudden they sit up and take notice and say, that person cares about me. They care more than the usual person. Jesus was caring about the people. He'd go out of his way. He'd go to this city and this village and that village. He was going around. Why? Because everybody needs Jesus. We pass out our tracts. And we'll go to Lakeland. We'll go to Winter Haven. We'll go to Bulberry. We'll go to, even when I'm traveling. It's kind of crazy to pass out a tract with Bible Baptist Church of Bartow's information on the back of the tract at the airport in Kansas City or in Atlanta or wherever you might be. But hey, guess what? My goal is, and our goal as individuals ought to be, to make sure that that person ends up in heaven.
Amen.
Get them saved. The Lord will lead them to a good church. But the truth is, Jesus was going everywhere. Why? Because you cannot find a place where Jesus is not needed, and you cannot find a person that they don't need to know about him. I ran into some people yesterday, and like I said, I give my tracts out, and when I give tracts out, I try to strike up a conversation when I can. Had a young lady at the restaurant yesterday. We were picking up something for supper, and I gave her a tract. I gave her a stack because there was a lot of people working in the restaurant. I said, take one of those for yourself and pass those around. I said, that will tell you how to get to heaven. And I emphasized the fact there really is a place called the Lake of Fire, and you do not want to go there. And God does not want you to go there. And sometimes it just kind of perks them up, saying, wow, this guy cares about me. I care because Jesus cared for me. Jesus had people in my path that cared enough for me to tell me the truth. And I'm just passing on what others have done for me. And Jesus, here he's going through town to town to town to town, and he's going through, and guess what? Not only is he telling the good news, not only is he preaching and showing, but he's seeing people get saved. Which leads me to the next section. What does it say? Verse 2. Not only, and it says, in the 12 were with him, talking about his disciples. And it says, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. I want you to think about Mary Magdalene. This is the first time, the earliest in his ministry, that Jesus... the Bible mentions Mary Magdalene. Most of the time we read about Mary, she's mentioned in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But most of the time you read about Mary Magdalene, you read about her either at the cross or at the tomb. But here, this is approximately 2 years before Jesus' crucifixion, and she's already with Jesus. I want to tell you something. That excites me in the fact that when you find somebody that stays with Jesus, they understand the value of what he's done for them, and they stay with him, that shows me loyalty. But I see people, I see preachers, so many, that'll jump and they'll pick a church, and that church will change. And they'll make sure that they do this and they'll do that. They might even drop the name Baptist off the church sign. I want to tell you something. That bothers me. Because even the Jehovah's Witnesses are honest enough to have what they are on their sign.
That's right.
The Catholic Church will tell you that they're a Catholic Church. But there's so many of the Baptists that drop the name off the sign. Why? Because it's politically incorrect. Hey, who cares?
That's right.
What does Jesus want?
Amen.
Okay, I want to be honest enough. Hey, I'm not ashamed of the book or the blood or the blessed hope. And I'm not ashamed of that name because that's what it stands for.
Amen.
I'm not Baptist because I worship the term Baptist. Baptist has to do with the fact that we're a specific set of doctrines that we believe and hold fast to.
Amen.
They're called convictions. You know what a conviction is? There's a difference between a conviction and a preference. I prefer not to eat certain things. Okay, I won't go into that, but there are things that I prefer to eat that I'm really not supposed to eat. But But a preference is something I prefer to do, and it's not a big deal whether I do it or not. It's my call. A conviction is something you'll die for. Okay? There's nobody going to tell me that I'm going to use the NIV Bible when I preach. Not going to happen. They say, well, I want you to preach, and you're going to preach out of this version or that version. You'll have to kill me first. And that's a shortcut to heaven, so that's all right with me. Amen? But the truth is, hey, the book, how am I going to betray the blood? That's who Jesus, that's the blood of Jesus. That's why this flag is red and white. It's the red blood that made me white as snow.
Amen.
Washed away my sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood.
Amen.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And there are a lot of people that will drop something so quick because, oh, they came out that it's all right for homosexuals to get married. So we've got to accept that. Baloney.
That's right.
Show it to me in the Bible. I want to find it in the Bible. If you can show it to me in my King James Bible, not in that NIV homosexual translation, because there were a homosexual on the translation committee. I'm not going to take that. My concern is I want to find out. You show me where I'm wrong according to my King James Bible, I'll change. But guess where my conviction is? The book. And it's because of the book and the blood I'm going up on the blessed hope.
Amen.
When Jesus comes back. Now, I'm saying all that. That wasn't really my message, but I want you to understand there got to be people that are dedicated and loyal to Christ.
Amen.
And I see people come into church and they get upset with something the preacher says. Now, I tell people all the time, I said, my job as a pastor is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. Hey, if you're too comfortable, you're not reading the book, because the book's going to disturb you. And the preaching of the book should disturb you too. But I think about Mary Magdalene. She was with Jesus from the first, right as soon as he cast those devils out of her. She knew she owed her life to him. And I want to tell you something. You and I, if you're saved, you're not saved because of your good works or your baptism or your church membership or any of that kind of stuff. If you're saved and you're going to heaven, it's going to be only because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You put your trust in him. And if you are saved, he expects us to be loyal to him.
Amen.
How loyal do you expect Jesus to be to you? Let me ask you this. Good example. A few weeks back, we had Brother Brian Gentry here. Not me, but my good friend from North Carolina. He was in a truck that was washed off the side of a mountain by a mudslide into the river. Do you really think he wanted the Lord to hear his prayer at that moment when he's screaming out to God, Lord, I need your help? What about his wife? He had his phone in his pocket, and he calls out and he calls his wife. There, he said, honey, it don't look good. You better pray. You think she kind of wants the Lord to be loyal to her prayers? I want you to understand, loyalty is what we're missing in our world today. Loyalty to Christ is where we lack. Oh, there are more people more loyal to their phones and their Facebook account than they are to Jesus, even though they might be saved.
That's right.
The most important thing for us is to understand Mary Magdalene was, she was not a casual Christian.
Amen.
She was dedicated. She would not leave the Lord even when the disciples disbanded and they scattered when Jesus was on the cross. Guess where Mary Magdalene was? At the cross.
Good.
Guess who showed up at the tomb even after Jesus was crucified and buried? It was Mary Magdalene. She still hadn't given up on him. By the way, hold your place there in chapter 8. Look at verse chapter 9. Let's see where it is. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. See, Mary was with Jesus in chapter 8, right? So she was still with him right on through. Look at what verse 22 says. This is what Jesus was teaching. He says, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and raised the third day. Guess who was listening to that? Mary Magdalene was. You see, Mary knew, she knew, hey, I know Jesus will rise from the dead. You and I, we hear things like that. And if we had been living at that point in time, we would have still had our doubts. We would have hoped and we would have believed to a degree. But the bottom line is, we struggle with believing. At least I do from time to time. I want to believe everything in the Bible. I truly accept everything as absolute truth in the Scriptures. However, there's times when my flesh causes me to doubt. But Mary, when she went to the tomb, she saw him crucified, saw what an awful attack they made on the Lord, and how the Bible says his visage was marred more than any man. He was more marred up, more mutilated, if you will, than any other person. It's what the Scripture says in Isaiah 53. And yet, guess what? She still went to the cross because she felt and she believed it was happening. I want to tell you something. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what tomorrow holds. We all, hey, every day seems like Sharon and I, we have another physical struggle. She shares with what she's going through. I share what I'm going through. And it takes a while for us to understand how we can help each other. But you know what? We're getting worse and getting harder and getting older, and some of these things that we try to do, it makes it harder to continue to serve the Lord. But guess what? It's never appeared to me to quit.
That's right.
It's never been my determination. I didn't go to Landmark Baptist College to be a casual Christian. I didn't go to college to be a so-so preacher. There are some of them that are more suited to be salesmen than they are, because they're going to tell people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. But the truth is, this world needs you and I. This world needs us to be loyal, to be dedicated to the cause of Christ. I don't know what the Lord's called you to do, but nobody can do it like He wants you to do it. Mary Magdalene is it. I admire her in the fact that she was with Jesus right up. And I personally believe she was there in the upper room. I believe that she was watching him when he ascended up into heaven. And I believe she had people that got saved. Because number one, She told them what Jesus did for her. You know, it's hard for you to describe what Jesus has done for me, but you can tell what Jesus has done for you better than anybody else. But this world, I mean, we've got people that, and I'm not going to get off on that, but I think it's a shame that people take it out on the country and the servicemen not to stand up for the Star Spangled Banner. I read an article not long ago about a group that decided, for whatever reason, they weren't going to play the Star Spangled Banner before a girls' softball game. A tournament. You know what happened? I love it. One by one, people started to stand up and they started singing the Star Spangled Banner without any music. They weren't going to let that go. They weren't going to let that happen. Why? Because they were loyal. There are a lot of people that understand. A lot of the younger generation, they don't understand why we stand for the flag, why we are so committed to this country. Just like they don't understand why we're committed to Christ. But it's our job to do what we can to help them understand. I'm committed to Christ because of that blood.
Amen.
Before, we love Him because He first loved us.
That's right.
And there are so many people. I see it all the time, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Amen. How many people say, well, I don't go to church because I don't get anything out of it. Well, what do you put into it?
Amen.
Do you read your Bible? Do you understand what the Bible says? Are you even saved? The church is here to get you to heaven. That's our job, to try to help people understand how to get to heaven. So many of them are here to get your money out of your wallet, and they'll do whatever they can. They'll have a pizza shop in the church, or they'll have a rock concert, or do whatever, just to have you come in and put into the offering plate. I want to tell you something. We're here for one reason. If you don't ever, 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 ever put anything in the offering plate, I want you to go to heaven.
That's right.
I want to see you there. And I tell people right up front, I'd love to see you come visit our church. But whether you come to visit our church or not, I want to see you in heaven. And to be there, you've got to be born again. You've got to be saved. This world is hurting. It is dying spiritually for lack of Christians who are loyal to Christ. I thank God for somebody like Mary Magdalene, who just, when she got saved, she didn't just run from Jesus. She didn't hide. You know, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they were hiding the fact that they believed in Jesus for a while. God doesn't want us to be secret disciples. That's not loyalty. Loyalty will cost you. It'll cost you time on Sunday mornings. It'll cost you time on Sunday night or on Saturday night. A lot of people stay up late on Saturday night so they don't go to church on Sunday morning. Hey, shame on them. And then they don't show up on Sunday night. Then where's your excuse there? Anyway, but the truth is, this world needs loyal Christians.
Amen.
And this church is not going to do much in Bartow if we don't have loyal Christians here. People who will reach out and make a difference and try to bring people to Christ and let them know the truth and pass out the tracts, and that's what it's all about. So what I want you to focus on tonight, or this morning, for the invitation, this is what I want the invitation to be all about. Now, if somebody's here that's not saved, praise God. We'll show you how to get saved and make sure that you know how to get to heaven. But I want you to talk to Jesus. And I want you to say, Lord, though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, though I'm the only one. You know, Mary Magdalene would have been there, I believe, even if the disciples had not been, which showed up when it came time to go, when Jesus went to the cross. Jesus needs people that are going to be staying with him and staying with him and staying with him. You and I have benefited by those kind of people, because it's those kind of people that help lead me to Christ. I'd go to church, and I'd skip a while when I was a teenager. And I'd go to church, and I'd skip a while. But you know what happened? Whenever I showed up at church, I'd see those same faces. And though I skipped a while, they did. Though I skipped a while, they were right where they needed to be. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, any other activities at church. If there was a revival going on, they'd be there every time they could. That's the kind of Christian we need to be. That's what this world needs. Good grief. Do you really like the way you see the world going? I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be a part of the problem. I want to be a part of the solution. I don't want to hear the Lord say, Brian, you should have. Why didn't you? I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. And he's not going to say that if we haven't done well. He's not going to lie. Where's your loyalty? Is it to Christ? I hope so. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. Let the name of Jesus be glorified. Lord, we come before you. Lord, help each one of us to determine to be more loyal to you. Lord, this world try to get us to be loyal to our phones or Facebook or clubs or hobbies or groups or whatever. But Lord, let nothing, please, Lord, let nothing come between you and me. Help each one of us to be loyal to Christ till death. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.